This is the Ethanol Report. During a public hearing in Kansas City, Kansas on June 25th, over 250 people provided testimony to the Environmental Protection Agency on proposed volume obligations under the Renewable Fuel Standard. The vast majority of those testifying at the hearing were biofuel supporters, including ethanol and biodiesel producers, corn growers, agribusinesses, and fuel retailers, as well as state lawmakers, agriculture directors, and two governors, including Iowa's Terry Branstad.
I had hoped to welcome you all to Iowa for today's hearing, but I do appreciate the fact that you did choose a Midwestern location, and we are pleased to be here and get outside the Beltway, where Big Oil's army of well-paid lobbyists seem to have so much undue influence. In the current RFS proposal, I recognize that the EPA has made some changes. For example, there are some encouraging changes involving the volumes for biodiesel. Unfortunately, on the ethanol front, the agency seems to have bought Big Oil's faulty arguments hook, line, and sinker. Big Oil has polluted the discourse with half-truths and a narrative that rewards their bad behavior by blocking market access to renewables.
Also testifying was Missouri Governor Jay Nixon.
The current proposal continues to fail in significant ways to meet the renewable fuel targets that are part of the law. You know, just that simple. I mean, a law gets passed that says, here's the targets. And then regulations get passed or are promulgated that say, well, part of that's good enough. That's not the way we play, especially in agriculture. You don't stop plowing 80% through the field, okay? We don't stop working at 80% of what's necessary. By setting the RFS below the congressional targets, the EPA caps the amount that will be produced. It is counterintuitive for the agency that is charged with enforcing the clean air laws to impose a de facto limit on ethanol, a product which so clearly emits fewer greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. And quite frankly, I'm not seeing how it's going to hurt our economy to produce cheaper, better, cleaner fuel. And it's certainly not going to hurt our environment to produce here in America. Okay?
In his testimony on behalf of the industry, Renewable Fuels Association Senior Vice President Jeff Cooper urged EPA to abandon the blend wall methodology in setting volume obligations.
We continue to believe that EPA is overstepping the bounds of its legal authority by proposing to partially waive the RFS based on perceived distribution capacity constraints. Nothing in the statute allows EPA to set the RVOs based on the so-called blend wall or alleged infrastructure limitations. In fact, Congress did consider measures that would have allowed waivers based on distribution infrastructure, but they rightly rejected those concepts because they knew allowing that type of off-ramp would entice the oil companies to hold the RFS program hostage, as they are now doing. Rather, Congress focused its waiver provisions narrowly on the question of supply. And the law is clear. If the supply is adequate to meet the statutory volume requirements, then obligated parties must find a way to distribute those volumes.
Several of the witnesses who provided testimony at the hearing also participated in a rally supporting the RFS, including RFA Chairman Randy Doyle of Alcorn Clean Fuel in Minnesota.
Senators and congressmen, Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, they all got together and figured out what was best for the U.S. Now we need EPA to listen and do what they said. That's all we're asking. Tell EPA to tear down that dadgum blend wall. It doesn't exist. It doesn't belong. We know that our vehicles can use more. We just need everybody to wake up to it.
Another ethanol producer, who not only testified at the hearing and spoke at the rally, but also hosted EPA officials on a tour of his plant, was Jeff Eastman with East Kansas Agri-Energy.
When we found out that the RFS RVO meeting was here in Kansas City, we decided to send a letter to the EPA to invite them to visit our plant, and surprisingly enough, they accepted. It was an excellent time to have really about 2 hours with several high-level officials at the EPA. We were very open, very transparent. They were very engaged. The questions they asked were more focused on our advanced technology, renewable diesel. Why did we choose that over something else? What were the costs? Can it run with or without? How does it work? How is it connected to the ethanol plant? And quite honestly, we would not have invested in renewable diesel if it wouldn't have been for corn-based ethanol plant that we have next door, period. And we tried to make that message to them.
Chris Grundler, director of EPA's Office of Transportation and Air Quality, says he learned a lot in his visit to the ethanol plant.
It was a really good use of my time. I got to meet a number of the board members as well as the people that are running the plant. I got to kick some tires and learn about the history of the plant and the people behind it. And what struck me is that this plant was built by a bunch of neighbors who got together and saw a business opportunity and a way to add value to their product. And now, 10 years later, it's very, very successful. And I think it's a great story. The other reason why I was interested in going to this particular plant is they're doing some very innovative things to make their process more efficient to make ethanol. And they're also starting a new venture to make renewable diesel. And renewable diesel is a very interesting fuel because it can be dropped into the fuel supply. It looks just like petroleum diesel, but it comes from plants, and it reduces greenhouse gas emissions substantially.
EPA will be taking public comment on its proposed rule until July 27th. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.